Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hut in the Clock. Noon on a Wednesday, so it is Hut in the Clock. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joins us now. Hut, I hope you're staying warm. Hope you are no longer snowed in, or are you?
I am not. I can walk to work, though, so I'm very fortunate in that. How is everyone doing? This is one of my favorite hours or segments of the week. Seriously, I love joining you guys and get a little local flavor.
Willie is looking at the ocean in sunny Los Angeles, so he's doing much better than the rest of us who have our snow boots on, and Joe Rexroad, who had a full balaclava on this morning.
Yesterday, it was colder in Nashville than it was in the North Pole.
Oh, Lord.
I'm being serious.
That tells the story, doesn't it?
That's incredible to me.
It's just incredible. That's not why I moved here. I was trying to get away from the North Pole, not necessarily go right into
D-Mace, what's the coldest game you played in?
Oh, it was that
the New England game? Okay.
Yes, where it was minus 10 degrees on the field?
Yeah, see, I don't know if you guys agree. I told Bree this at News Channel 5 Sunday night. I believe the feels like temperature is the temperature. If it feels like minus 10, it's minus 10. It's not two. That's where I know that one's mathematics, the other one's science. I don't know what she said, and she's right. I'm stupid. But again, like, if it feels like a certain temperature, to me, that's the temperature. I'm going to dress for what it feels like, not what it is.
The weather people are going to come for you for that one.
Okay, well, bring it.
Yeah, the weather homers. we get a lot of weather homers on our show. Jonathan Hutton is with us. We are in full coaching search mode. We had Derrick Henry on Bussin' with the Boys last night. Were we able to catch some of what Derrick Henry said on the podcast?
I've read quotes. I haven't seen or listened to what he said, but I've read quotes about him and the possible trade destinations.
What do you make of what Derrick Henry said about potentially being traded earlier in the season, and also what he said? We said, look, the door's not closed. Am I return to the Tennessee Titans? But it feels like they're moving on. It feels like they're going in a different direction.
Yeah, they didn't get the return on what they wanted to trade him. But when I read this, I'm thinking, and again, this is me in the moment, not in the future tense. In the moment, I'm kind of glad we saw him go out the way he went out, where he grabbed the microphone and spoke to the fans.
Yeah,
that would not have happened. The fans would have been pissed off if he was traded. I mean, he's the face of the franchise. He's the most popular pro athlete in the city. And even though you're going to get something where, I think everyone knows in all likelihood, he's not returning. I believe they were shopping him last offseason. They tried to do it during the season, and he was going to approve whatever he was going. I think they did it the right way from the Titans' perspective, but also they just didn't get the return that they wanted. If I'm speculating, he said two teams. I would automatically assume Baltimore. I would assume Buffalo. I would assume Tampa. I don't know if you guys have a different opinion on who else would be in the mix there, but as far as investment in the run, who?
Dallas, maybe.
Okay. As far as investment in the run game and what was available cap-wise, that's where I look. But again, no matter where Derek wanted to go or if he wanted to go, the return had to be something to where it was worthwhile for the Titans to actually do that. And I don't think they got a great return in the offseason or during the season.
And we were just kind of breaking down one thing that Derek said about, look, it just felt so different this year. Maybe a couple years ago when they got to the AFC Championship game, when they had the number one seed, Derek said, I could look to my left, I could look to my right, and I could trust that those were some dudes that would hold me accountable, that if I went down, they could pick up all of the pieces, that this year just felt different. And just watching from the outside in, it felt different. It looked different. Do you think that's on Mike Vrabel, on not trying to maybe continue that culture that this team has been known for? Or is that on John Robinson for trading those foundational pieces away year over year?
My initial reaction is on Amy Adams Strunk.
Yeah, fair.
Whenever she fired John Robinson, when she did, they were leading the division. The leaders of the team look at that and they think, okay, this is a signal that we're already looking ahead to the offseason. I'm just being blunt here. You've got, if I'm Derrick Henry, I'm absolutely thinking it's a wasted season for my career. If you're just looking at the Pro Football Hall of Fame possibilities, that you have the injuries, you're 7-5, and you're in it until the white flag is waved in early December. I mean, that's what happened. I think that signaled, okay, here comes the rebuild. And then it was kind of a rebuild, but it was nothing close to what it should have been. Henry was one of those that was being mentioned on the trading block. Tannehill as well. They draft the quarterback. They draft another backup running back in consecutive seasons of the draft. And both guys were back. And then they go after Hopkins. I feel like it was a 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And the players notice this. They get it. They hear it. They follow it. And when they see that, it's like, oh, what are we doing? We waved the white flag 6 months ago, but we're all back and we brought in D-Hop. Okay, what are we doing? And you get off to a slow start. You end up 500 and then the wheels fall off. And I credit both guys, Tannehill and Henry, for being pros about everything. And I won't say they went through the motions. I'll say it felt like they were in neutral instead of in gear. And that to me started back in December of 2022.
You're right about that, Hutt. And when you know, you talk about this situation and what Derrick Henry mentioned, you know, on the podcast, I think, you know, you say, well, it starts at the top. And I truly believe that, you know, everything is sort of trickles down. It's a trickle down effect in the NFL. If you have a great owner, then you have a great GM, you have a great coach. But I think in this situation, and tell me how you feel about this one, mm-hmm. but in this situation, I think it's always tasked on the head coach to maintain that locker room's culture, regardless who comes in and who comes out or who leaves out. Because if you look at organizations that are winning organizations, whether it's New England, whether it's Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Kansas City, they all go through the same ebbs and flows as far as youth coming in with the old guys or the old guys segueing out. But the head coach, no matter what, maintains
the
chemistry in that locker room. And I felt the way Derrick Henry was describing it, Vrabel wasn't able to do that toward the end of last year nor this season.
Well, and I think that you mentioned the chemistry and the connection. I don't think Vrabel had that with Rand Carthon.
Yeah.
So again, I think that there's also part of it. Like I think his wheels were spinning too, because you're looking at Ryan Cowden and he's not there, right? You go through the draft process and then Cowden's not there. I think there was just a disconnect with the whole process, starting with what you're talking about. But mm-hmm. I mean, if they were to call on Vrabel, I don't know what he could or could not say, given the fact that I'm not sure what he could or could not say. And I think in any other given year, it was pretty clear the direction they were going. It was just kind of I keep saying 1 foot in, 1 foot out, but that's the best way I can describe it. There was not really a direction of the off season last year. And I think that's in part why you fire Vrabel, because they were headed towards another offseason like that, mm-hmm. if you bring him back, based on all of the information that we know was going on. And quite frankly, the information we don't know, because there's been no clarification on it. So you bring in another head coach who's going to be in lockstep with the GM. That's a criteria that has to be checked. And you know, I think Rand has a voice, an opinion, and a direction that they will go in. And because the head coach is going to be in the same direction with him. So I just feel like that wasn't the case with Vrabel. I think in large part, I think Rand Carthon was brought in to rebuild mm-hmm. what they're doing. And Vrabel was wanting to win. He's not for a rebuild. Mm-hmm. And so that therein lies the fork in the road. And that led to the off season that was kind of just a confusing one.
And you're bringing up a great point there, and I was going to ask you about that in regards to, you know, them firing John Robinson, Hutt. To me, and you know, there has been speculations that Miss Amy even thought about firing Mike Vrabel at the end of last season. I think they should have fired him last season, not because I don't think he's a good coach, but because of what happened this season. You had a GM coming in already saying, hey, listen, I'm just going to defer to the head coach. Well, we know the head coach doesn't want a rebuild, when in actuality, the rebuild should have started last year as opposed to this year. And maybe, just maybe, had it started last year and the power structure was the way it needed to be, like any other team where it's the owner, GM, and then the head coach, I believe Mike Vrabel would still have his job.
Not if you, okay, I agree. However, if we're going to take Amy for her word, when she fired John Robinson, she said, when I make up my mind, I'm making a decision now. So if she'd already made up her mind or had even thought about firing Vrabel prior to all of this, then I feel like we were headed down that path anyway. And you've got contract years, you've got a salary cap situation, you know, Byard, Tannehill, Henry, there are others. You've got another year there, or you have trade assets where you kind of go through, I won't say go through the motions. Vrabel wanted to win and the team did too. There's no doubt Tannehill and Henry wanted to. They're not going to waste another year when you wave the white flag in December the year prior. Point being, if you can't trade them and you can't move up the ladder in the draft, they've got the opportunity now. You don't want to waste that if you're going to move on from Vrabel, if you're not in the same mindset, in the same frame with the new general manager and the direction you want to go with evolving and, you know, making sure that you're headed down a path that the NFL is going. That's something that she mentioned in her statement, in the ever evolving league. So it doesn't sound like she felt like Vrabel was doing that at all.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. And Hutton, before we get your opinions on some of the candidates that have been interviewing, I know you mentioned to me that you enjoyed our interview with Ryan McDonough. What's
yes.
up with you in that?
Well, so, I did. It's refreshing, but it shouldn't be. And I mean this like in a genuine way. I don't hear athletes on radio doing interviews like this where they're just open, honest, and just have a conversation. I felt like that was a conversation. I think we're missing that. I don't know if it was the COVID year that took a step back in this, where the locker rooms were closed. For the most part, and I'm looking at this from a football frame, for the most part, this is a team. It's a team-run media now, an NFL media that's now buying into ESPN, where they control the narrative. And I listened to Barry Trotz. We're missing that from the Titans. And it's just refreshing because, Willie, 10, 20 years ago, that was a normal chat. That was a kickback conversation. It's not like it's nothing that's going to be controversial. It's just sports. And I don't know if we get a lot of that because it's either the players that are individual going on their podcast and they're controlling their own message, which is fine, or it's the team that's holding back certain availability because, well, they can control it on their own side. I just don't hear that enough, and I miss it. It was just refreshing, and I commend the Ryan McDonough. Also, just Trotz in general has always been great, and I think that, you know, instead of pointing out those who don't speak for a season, I would rather give credit to those who do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I think I'll pass that along to the Predators there, and Ryan in particular. But and that's really, I think, what you appreciate with Derrick Henry in that atmosphere that the Bussin' with the Boys can create, that comfort level where you do get Derrick Henry just kind of just talking, right? And it goes on for a long time. As Caroline and D-Mates and I were saying, you gotta park some time if you're going to listen to that whole thing.
Yeah.
That thing goes on for a long time. But it is really interesting to hear him reminisce about the teams that had a shot to win it, right? He felt like,
yes,
you know, close, and
they were.
That's the tough thing. That's what makes the really sports so hard, is when you feel like you've got a chance. The best team doesn't always win, and there's probably in a given year five or six teams that are probably good enough to win it. And I would say probably for those 3 years, 2019, 2020, 2021, they were in that mix.
2020 was the year, Willie. That was their Super Bowl possibility to me. And if I'm DeMeco Ryans, I'm playing exactly what Derrick Henry just said. I think the Houston Texans are the 2024 version, 2023-24 version of the 2019 Titans. They're a year ahead. They won in the wild card round. The Titans went to New England and won. No one expected that. Then they go to Baltimore. and they win against the number one seed Baltimore Ravens against the MVP Lamar Jackson. And that's what Houston has a chance to do. And they're a year ahead. They're a year ahead of where they should be, given the youth and just the overall structure of where they were. They won three games the year prior, and now they're in the divisional round. You can't waste that. I say a year ahead. They should not be thinking that. I don't think they are, but they shouldn't be where they are given how they've had to rebuild. And it starts with the quarterback who's been – he's a big-game player, C.J. Stroud. I look at that and just compare because we're watching it in real time. They are that version of the Titans then. And the 2020 year, as good as they were, and they made the run in 2019, 2020, to come back the way they did and then lose in the fashion that they did, that was it wasn't the death knell, but the way that they lost to Cincinnati, that was crushing, given the fact that they were so good offensively all season long. To come down, they had a scripted play to begin the game. They throw the pass, it's picked off on the first play. I mean, everything just went downhill after you could not have scripted the regular season to go as well as it did. That was crushing to them because that was the year that they were built to win. They were dominant offensively. They weren't great on defense, but they put up points. They had a 1,000-yard receiver, nearly two of them if Corey Davis doesn't get injured with a hamstring, a 2,000-yard rusher, 4,000-yard passer, a tight end who went for 400 to 500 yards receiving and scored seven or eight touchdowns. I mean, they were very consistent at different positions, and they had options. That was their window, and they could follow it up and try to get it back, but they really didn't have another opportunity like that at their peak. That was them in their prime. And if I'm Henry, I'm looking at that and I'm thinking that window was open. It was open and it closed way too quick for what it should have been. He feels like he's got a lot left. And if I'm him, I'm thinking I've wasted the last 2 years, given the fact that, I mean, they're invested in running the football. But this year, some of it's on him. I would say that he's getting hit before he gets to the line of scrimmage. That is not what the Titans were built to do. We went downhill in the draft. It started there in free agency, made some really bad decisions, but that affected everything. And yeah, if I'm Henry, I'm thinking, what just happened and where am I going where it doesn't happen to me again as I close the career?
Well, that's an interesting question. So if I'm hearing you right, you actually would take the 2020 team, the year that Henry had 2,000 yards.
Yes.
They still had Corey Davis. They had
a 2,000-yard rusher, a 1,000-yard receiver. They had a 950-yard receiver. And they had a 4,000-yard in Tannehill. Tannehill was great that year. He was elite if you look at his numbers. He was at the top with the best quarterbacks in the league. I mean, I would argue he was running an NFL offense just as well as any quarterback in the NFL, running an offense. And Arthur Smith was that year got Arthur Smith a head coaching job. I would take that team.
Interesting, because the defense was not as good as
no.
the one defense for sure. But that's an interesting one because Derek Henry mentioned it, that they were really, they were really down. They mentioned that Ravens game. Of course, the fans couldn't be there. It was weird, right? So the fans probably don't gravitate as much to that team because the year was so different in general. But that's an interesting argument that the 2020 team might have been the best shot.
I felt like the vibe on going after that year after the playoff, because you came back after that year and Tannehill admitted that he was in he went to counseling, therapy or whatever it was because of that game. Like, it changed the whole narrative of the team the following year. They were good, but they had a chance to be great the prior year. And it was like, okay, is Tannehill the guy? Are we actually going to do this? There was no question that earlier season until that playoff game.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. Hutton, looking at the Titans coaching search, they've cast a very wide net. Who would you look at, whether it's individual names specifically or whether it's just overall characteristics, offensive, defensive, what kind of experience they've had, association with Will Levis or not? What would you look at to be some front runners for the Titans head coaching search?
Well, they're going to... Any coach that comes in there is going to base what they say on Will Levis.
Yeah.
And I think it was Rex Rode that made the point, and I haven't thought about it this way, but even Mike Vrabel in his press conference to open his tenure here mentioned how he was going to maximize Marcus Mariota. So, I mean, Amy mentioned it in her statement. He didn't mention Will by name, but mentioned, promising young quarterback. you have to structure that. I think it doesn't have to be an offensive play caller. It doesn't have to be an offensive coach, but I mean, I would focus on that. I would focus on an offensive coach who has had success doing that, but also has coached the quarterback and has success in that area too. Callahan and Cincy comes to mind just because of the rapport with Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
But I mean, Caroline, I think some of the guys that would be at the top of a list are still in the playoffs in the divisional round. But after this week, they can start chatting with that. It's a process that they should wait on. They've done their due diligence. If you're looking at what they are certainly not going to have. When Rand Carthon said that, you know, we'll tell you about the criteria of who we're looking for and kind of the overall business model, the structure, the statement. In thinking back on what he said and how they've gone about it, I mean, there is no rhyme or reason who they're talking to. Young coaches, interim coaches, defense, offense, experience. I mean, there is a variety of coaches, and I think that's good. I also think that at some point they're bogged down with so many names when I kind of get the vibe that they've got two or three names in mind already. And, you know, they reached out to Brian Johnson, I believe, from the Panthers to speak with him.
Thomas Brown.
Thomas Brown. OK. Yeah. And Johnson, I think, there's another coach that they've asked permission to, right?
Detroit OC Johnson.
Yeah, so I mean, there are plenty of coaches that are on this list.
Yeah,
I think the coach that they'll be speaking to currently is preparing for a divisional round playoff game.
I almost hope so. And I look at Ben Johnson, Bobby Slowick; those are going to be the hot names across the league. But they're hot names for a reason. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutt, appreciate you as always. Thanks for your time, Hutt. We'll chat with you soon.
Yep, always enjoy this, guys. You guys have a great day.
All right, appreciate it. You too. All right, we'll react to what Hutton had to say there. Plus, look, there's a lot of names, as we just mentioned, that the Titans have requested to interview. And a lot of them they can't interview until the divisional round of the playoffs. But there is one name in particular that Dan Graziano of ESPN has circled and pointed to be a name of interest as far as the Titans coaching search is concerned. How do we feel about it? I don't know if I love it. We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.